Also, if you notice in verse 18, before, or the day of when this young man has this illness, it says it fell on a day. Now, and that's what it says in King James. I like the way it says that. And it's the third time it says that. In verse 8, it says it fell on a day. And this is when the woman's going to constrain Elisha to stay and eat bread. In verse 11, it says it fell on a day. And this is when Elisha will first dwell in this chamber that has been built for him. And then you have here, it fell on a day. And if you will, and I'm sure there's many ways of looking at this, but you see a progression in the relationship between the woman and Elisha. First, it's eating bread with him. So it's an enjoyment of fellowship with Elisha. It's that initial enjoyment that fills the soul when one gets to know Christ. In verse 11, now it's the permanence. It's the indwelling of Christ. It's God dwelling in us that you have in 1 John. It's something that starts to define us. Now the relationship that she has with Elisha, it's a steady part of her life. It's who she is. Now, what's the result? It's that when we have a need, he's there already for us. And so now it falls on a day, or it fell on a day. When she needs him most now, it's not just her enjoyment. She needs what Elisha has, and that is the power of God. He's there, and he will come. He will supply it for her.
Now, Emil, you made mention of the expression, my head, and you correlated it to the intellectual operations of college, university, things of that nature, what is secular, and challenging us about allowing what is natural to so fill our heads that we lose perspective of what is spiritual. But I'm also thinking that there is an application that it has to be made to each of us, which issues a challenge, I think, in terms of what we take of the truth, how we take it in. Does it become just simply something that stimulates my head? Because that can happen. I take the truth in, it lives up here, and it remains up there, and there is no working out of it in my heart. And I think that that will bring a certain amount of death as a result. And it's a challenge to my own soul. As I think of this, my head, where is the knowledge of the truth gone? Is it simply lodging up there? Or do we see the result in a practical way in how I interact in my life with the brethren, how I interact in general? Is there a manifestation of the effect of the truth in my heart?
I was thinking that the mother, she sends this young man out to the reapers, and he has this illness that befalls him. Perhaps being amongst the reapers, the world impacts him as well. But that his father then knows who to send this child to. We mentioned earlier that when Elijah had called for the woman, she came alone. He said, call the woman. He didn't say, call this couple. So she comes as the one who has this spiritual discernment. She's more mature spiritually. And now that her son has this illness, the father says, carry him to his mother. And in other words, he says, I know that she'll know what to do. And we see in these latter verses that she takes her son, he's on her knees until noon, you know, and you think of mothers in this very affectionate way of taking their children upon their legs, their breasts, very closeness to them. He dies. And she takes him and she lays him on the bed of the man of God. And she shuts the door upon him and she goes out. I was wondering what we might learn from the actions of this woman. She didn't lay him in her own bed, which you might say has this maternal aspect to it, but she takes and she lays him on the bed of the man of God. Why do we think she does this?
Well, she recognizes where healing will come from. only from the man of God. And she shuts the door. She understands that she's not going to intercede. It's going to be the work of God, God alone.
Where do we go for answers? Where do we go when circumstances are pressing us and there seems to be a hopelessness at the moment? Do we not go up? She went up. It's the upward look. We're talking about the upper chamber. That's what she had set up for him, for the man of God, who had all of the influence that can bring in a response to her son, can bring life in. She went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God. Shutting the door would shut out everything, all of the external circumstances and everything that could be of a distraction is shut out, so that there is what is exclusively in the place where the power of the man of God, the power of Christ, is available to bring life back into the son.
And I'm wondering if we can move on with a quick application and continue, because there's only 10 minutes. And that is, you know what? He was my head that we have heard. Another exhortation for them people, he was with the reapers. He was with good company. But you know, if you open yourself up for the influences of this world, it doesn't matter if you come to the meeting. It doesn't matter if you come to Sunday school. It doesn't matter that you attend with your parents. You have to have this guard, and not, things should be guarded if it's a matter of spiritual knowledge, with affections, not a matter of intellect. But there was another young man, so there's always a positive. This may be negative influences that have hit the head, my head, my head. But when the mother needed to move forward, she requested a young man. And how wonderful to be able to have a young man. Now, this is another kind of young man that have a discernment to follow up with the mother, to bring the child where he should be, and also probably that young man brought her to the man of God. May it be that our young people will be such individuals that will be able to enhance whatever the circumstances or enhance things for the glory of God. And that's what we have in this other young man. And now we're going to just probably...
Well, I don't want to...
10 minutes?
Yeah, I don't want to rush us because...